found a boyfriend, whatever the case, you know, got married, got kids, suddenly all a new set of priorities, boy, and suddenly God is out the window. And that's just the way it goes. And that's how the fly showing up at the picnic. That's the mosquitoes at the fishing party. Yes, Pam. Well, let's do the one in, I said Matthew 13, then I corrected it. It's Matthew 21, I think. Yeah, I gotta look at it here to give it to you exactly. There's a bunch of them in Psalms. Be 21:33. Now, one in Psalms. Let me see if I got something here that lines up with Psalms. Let's look at Psalm 78. Talking to me? Oh, talking to him. Yeah, Psalm 78 would be any place in there where it talks about how God has protected them, how God has brought them out, how God has put a hedge about them, how God has blessed them and took care of them. All of those things he says about Job, he always says about the nation of Israel. And that's why I'm saying Job was a real person, no question about it. And Job actually went through those things as a real person, no question about it. And Job was a righteous enough man that the devil showed up and actually picked on Job. But Job's also a picture of the nation of Israel, and we know without a doubt that the most hated thing on this planet for the devil is the nation of Israel outside the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Say what now?
1:7 of Job says, from going to and fro, that mark has gone like
2 seconds. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's dealing with something along those lines because he's down on earth and then he's up in heaven, so he's got to go back between the two. So, yeah, I'll tell you something else right now. Anytime you find that phrase to and fro in the Bible, it'll always be connected with the devil. First time that to and fro shows up in the Bible is in the book of Genesis, around Genesis 8, with a blackbird. That'll help you, Johnny, with your tape you listened to today, the blackbird out of the ark. So, there again, that's a little phrase that wherever you find it, you're finding, and the first time that's found is in, I think it's Genesis 8, maybe it's 9, but you can't miss it. Right there where he sends the bird out. Is that 8? 8, 7? Yeah. Yep. Well, I don't know. Where's that at now? Where's that at? Daniel what? But I'm telling you, when you find it, it'll be connected with the devil in some way, shape, or form, because that's the way he does it. You guys must have been studying this week. You've asked some really good questions tonight. Pammy, she knocked us over the fence here. That's good. It's a little simple little thing, and look how it went to. Well, yeah, what he's saying here is he says in verse 4, 12:4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Now, what he's saying there is this, that there's things in Daniel And there's also things in the book of Revelation where God says, Daniel, don't write them. He said to John, don't write it. And he won't reveal those things till the end, maybe in the tribulation period or right before tribulation. Now that's probably why we can't get a lot of the stuff like we talked about earlier out of the minor prophets. Because I'm telling you right now, I'll tell you one thing about the minor prophets. Every one of them is the second coming of Christ, the tribulation period, in a doctrinal form. Every one of them. Every one of them will have to deal with the nation of Israel, either in the tribulation. It is filled with it. And it just may be that the things that we can't get, like the winged ladies, like storks, have to do with what is sealed up that hasn't been revealed. Now his question is, the last part of that verse, it says, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And what he's saying, what he's talking about there is this, that in the tribulation period, that people aren't getting anything from God, so they're running to the world and the things of the world, and their knowledge is increasing, but it hasn't got anything to do with the knowledge of God. And we're in that right now. We're seeing that. We're seeing the beginning. A lot of the things that are going to take place in the tribulation period, we're seeing the foreshadowing of them in the last of the church age, because we are bumping right up against the tribulation period as we speak. And we are so close to it that we are seeing the actual things begin to formulate now that are going to come to reality then. And so you're seeing that. And that's what he's talking about. But I'm telling you, anytime you find the phrase to and fro, you're going to be dealing with something with the devil. Yeah. There again. That's in can't think. My mind just went blank. With Peter. Then we got a concordance. Look up where it says to and fro with every wind of doctrine. What is it? Ephesians. Come back to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Yep, watch this. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, talking about the church, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the rapture. That we henceforth, from this day forward, be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Now he says wind of doctrine there, because in the John chapter 3, the Holy Spirit of God is likened to wind. And this is false doctrine likened to a false wind. Notice, I love this, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Every wind of doctrine. To and fro. The wind blowing every which way. God's wind, the Holy Spirit of God, blows east to west. Man's wind blows every which way. And he's talking about the fact that every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And so there's the to and fro used again. Every time you find it, it'll always be connected with something that is false, connected with the devil. And that's just one of them phrases. And the definitive on it is Genesis chapter 8, verse 7, Pat said. Yes, ma'am. Nikki. I didn't hear what you say, no. Not in Genesis 3.
I'm sorry, Exodus 5. Okay. There are five I read in the taskmasters, but I don't care. When you see seen and heard, does that be reason not to
say it again, though. Give me those words again in that verse. Let me look at it here. Where, Exodus 3 what? 7. Threw me a curve there the first time. When you. No, that's all right. It reminded me of a friend of mine one time was reading the Bible and he was preaching. And he's over here in Genesis and he reading about Adam and Eve and he said, and the Lord brought the man... brought the woman down to the man, and he turned his Bible and fourth pages stuff together, and he got in Genesis 6 and says she was 144 cubits high. That actually happened one time. Exodus 3. 30. I don't have a 37. What is it? Oh, 33:7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, into the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites. Okay? Is it far enough? And you're asking about where he says, I am come down? Well, that's a picture of the all-knowing and all-hearing of God. In fact, if you, I'll show you where he says that. I'll show you how he defines that. Here, just over here, let's see, where's it at here? There's a place where it says that the children of Israel cried out by reason of their affliction. In other words, it has to do with them crying up and praying to God to send them deliverance more than it does God coming down and hearing it. Yeah. No, because it doesn't say angel of the Lord. It says, verse 7, and the Lord, capital L, uppercase letters, is always God the Father. Right. No, I don't think that's true. Let me talk to you just a second, and I don't think I'll remember them all, but the names of the Lord will always tell you who he's talking about. Lord in uppercase letters will always be God the Father. Lord with lowercase letters will always be Christ. The angel of the Lord and the angel of God will always be Christ. Now I'll show you even something else. When it talks about Lord God, the context will be God as covenant maker, making a covenant with man. You'll never use that phrase in any other way. I'll tell you something else. In the New Testament, you find, you ever notice this? Some place it says, Lord Jesus. or Jesus Christ. Some places says Christ Jesus. You ever see that? I'll tell you right now. Lord, or Jesus is the earthly man. Christ is Christos, is the anointed. Where you find it, Christ, where you find it, Christ Jesus, the context of that passage will be coming from heaven, where he's Lord, to earth. Because one is his heavenly name, one is his earthly name. When it's Jesus Christ, it'll be, the context will be from earth going to heaven. You find the word Lord, that means he's Godhead. Jesus is the earthly man. Christ is Christos, the anointed one. So you're going to find him named sometimes Jesus. Sometimes you'll find him being called Lord. Sometimes you'll be called Christ. His correct title is the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time you find it just one of those, the context will be dealing with what that name of that word means. When you get over into the Paul's writing, when he says Christ Jesus, that will set the context, because Christ means one thing, Jesus means something else. When you go someplace else and it says Jesus Christ, that'll set the context, because Jesus means one thing, Christ means something else. When you find the Lord Jesus Christ, that'll set the context because of what all those names mean. That's just the way the Holy Spirit of God took those names and put it in there. So when you find Lord in uppercase letters, it's always God the Father. And, you know, it's easier to work it out that way than it is, you know, by seest, or I'm not sure you can rest on that. I don't know if that'll, but the verse that I was looking for, but really wasn't your question, was in 2:24. Just so I show you where it's at. And God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Well, I'll tell you what it does do. Look at verse 24. And God heard their groanings, and then you go over to the verse, and the Lord said, I have surely seen your affliction. He uses the word Lord and God interchangeably, showing you who it is. Now, if it would have said the angel of the Lord, that would have been a whole different ballgame. Always stick with the titles themselves. And that's, most what?
The sinner references aren't right.
It depends on what Bible you have. Surprisingly, mine are about 80% of the time, but about 25-20%, they just go nowhere. But sometimes they are and sometimes they're not. It really depends on the Bible that you have. I mean, I'm talking about a King James Bible, because the editors, see, those column references are put in there by the board who puts the Bible together. Schofield has his in, there's Schofield's, you know, and he, along with their notes, and Oxford has theirs. Oxford is probably the best, but they're not 100%. I mean, I use them every once in a while. I'll check them first just to see, but sometimes, you know, they go nowhere and it don't mean anything. The best study Bible is your own. So, that's where you're at with that. Well, did we clear that up tonight? That's pretty good. Nikki, did that help you? You're welcome. Well, good deal. Well, come on, time flies when you're having fun. Good job tonight. Boy, I'll tell you what, for you guys who must have been digging this week, impressed. Impressed, not depressed. Yes, Jim?
One more quick question. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5.
These people want to go. Ephesians what?
Ephesians 5:5.
I stay here all night, I don't care. Not all night, but for a while. Ephesians 5:5. Okay, hang on a minute. I ain't there yet. Don't get... No. Is that in the Old Testament or the New Testament? I got it. 5:5, go ahead. That would be the millennium. That's Christ's kingdom. but it's also the kingdom of God. See, it's the kingdom of God because it's a spiritual kingdom, but it's the kingdom of Christ because it's in the millennium. He sits on the throne and reigns for 1,000 years. So it is the kingdom of God, but it is also the kingdom of Christ. And the reason why it says it that way, because that's where Christ is on the throne, and he sits there and reigns for 1,000 years. Right, right. So it's absolutely correct to say that because it is the kingdom of Christ, and it also is the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of Christ is only the millennium, see, because that's where he's on the throne for 1,000 years. But the kingdom of God is the spiritual kingdom which exists forever. I was born into the kingdom of God, but I wasn't born into the kingdom of Christ. That's the millennium when he sits on the throne and reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords for 1,000 years. That it's within the kingdom of God. That's why it says that. And he's writing to the church, so that's why he's saying it. Good. That was a good question. Yeah.
On the last part, was the Jesus Christ and Christ Jesus?
The what now?
The last part on Jesus Christ and Christ Jesus that we were talking about.
Uh-huh. Jesus, the earthly man, to Christ, yes.
Opposite,
yes. That'll always set the context. You'll find that in the Pauline epistles where he uses it, and he'll be talking about, it may be a reference, it may be a biblical concept, but the concept will be dealing with him going to heaven, from the earth to heaven, or from heaven to the earth, within that chapter. And that's just the way I'm telling you, and I know you're getting it, and I know you're doing well, but I will never not drive home the point that Bible is all that you need. That Bible has everything in it that will teach you a systematic theology that will never be beat, because God designed it to be his own book, and he designed everything in it. I mean, it's just, and if you can just focus on that and learn some basic concepts, you will learn the Bible, and you will learn it to the degree that, you know, that you will have everything you want to have from God with the Word of God. Because we live in a day and age that people begin to define things by what they think they are instead of finding the definitive verses on it. So, you know, it's one of those things where when you get to the into the Bible, and I'm very tolerant with people on it because I know that it takes a long time, but at the same time, I will teach you along the way and show you that, you know, you've got to get to the place where the Bible defines things for you, and then that's what you base your opinion on. Because we live in a world where everybody's got their own opinion. And, boy, that may work in politics, but it isn't going to work in the Bible. And see now in the paper where they're having a big deal with the IRS about coming in and with churches about being political, had that big meeting over there. Tell you what. And all these churches now, all these Baptist churches now, see, when you don't have a Bible, then you got to get into something else. You got to march for something. You got to have a crusade for something. Now we're seeing where, because it's going to be, you know, it's going to be politics now, see. Tell you what, you just preach the Bible, you wouldn't need a politics. I told you before, just go in and cross out all the both candidates and just write Jesus' name in and vote for him. All right, let's have a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed. Good job.